7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast, and it's time for Minds Over Matter. Jerry Nachman, Pauline Teichman, and Dana Rodriguez will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
It ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely weekend. It was a beautiful day out there today. And Jerry kindly put on his coat. We like it when he's all completely dressed up to do the show. So if you have an hour to spare, we would love it if you would join us here on Minds Over Matter. It's a call-in quiz show. So, of course, we are encouraging your participation. That's very, very important to us. The number is area code 415-841-4134. We have some lines open right now. Excuse me, 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on, hopefully you'll be giving us questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Minds Over Matter, you can reach us via email at mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to pass those along. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week. So again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show on the internet, that is certainly available to everybody in this world as we know it. So you can just go to kalw.org. That's kalw.org, and you can find us there streaming live. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available afterwards also at kalw.org, along with some of our older classic shows. So that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman, following on the heels of Brian Boitano, Michael Sams, and Robin Roberts, is coming out of the closet to announce he is an unabashed heterosexual. That's shocking news because I had a wonderful gentleman I was going to fix you up with, but now I guess I can't do that.
Okay, not this time. Thank you. Pauline Teichman is looking forward to summer vacation this week based on the promising 80-plus degree temperatures, which are forecast.
After driving over the Willie L. Brown Bridge, the Dana R. Rodriguez car arrived in time for his meetup with Gerald W. Nachman and Pauline S. Teichman.
That being said, we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, what photograph does the New York Times say is the most widely reproduced image in the United States history?
Isn't it the kiss with that soldier and the nurse?
What?
The kiss with that nurse, the
no,
person
that's a
coming
good
back
guess.
From?
No, no.
Maybe.
One of them I know is the Elvis Nixon photograph.
What do you mean, one of them? There's only one answer.
Oh, well, I know one of the most requested photographs is the Elvis Nixon meetup.
Yeah.
Is that's not it?
No,
though.
That's not it.
Okay. Why don't you read the question once more?
What photograph does the New York Times say is the most widely produced image in American history?
In American history. Huh. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Gary from Union City.
Hello.
A couple questions.
All right.
The first of all, the same. What epic film has the distinction of airing at all three television networks? Not at the same time.
What epic film has the distinction of wearing on all three television networks? You mean not at the same time?
How about
no,
Roots?
Not at the same time.
What is that, a movie or a TV movie?
It was a movie.
The Ten Commandments?
Nope.
The first time Gone with the Wind was shown?
No, it came before Gone with the Wind.
Before.
You mean it was made before Gone with the Wind?
No, it was made after Gone with the Wind. It was made in the 60s. I'll give you that.
Oh. It was made in the 60s. It's an epic film. Made in the 60s. Oh, The Sound of Music?
Nope.
Epic. Well, that's the 50s.
On the beach?
Nope.
No. Epic.
It was released by the sort of the same studio, though, that distributed on the beach.
Really? It's a mad world?
Yes.
Oh. All right. Because it was made... Stanley Kramer.
First aired on NBC 1972, then CBS on New Year's Eve 1976, and then on ABC in the summer of 79.
All right.
And here's my second question involved with the Mad World. What six comedians who appeared in that film appeared in television series but didn't share any scenes together in the film?
What, six comedians?
Yeah. But didn't share any scenes
in the film. Together in the film. They were in the film but didn't share any scenes together.
Well, Jack Benny.
Yeah, and who was the other one?
Jerry Lewis.
No, Jerry Lewis, I mean, no, that period is on television series. Not Jerry Lewis.
Jimmy Durante?
No, I'm saying, which two comedians appeared in television series appeared in the Mad World, but did not share any scenes together?
So it's somebody Jack Benny is one. Well, Buster Keaton's in it.
No, you're talking about Jack Benny. One of the stars in the show appeared in the film, too.
One of the stars of the Jack Benny show?
Yeah.
Rochester.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, Rochester was in it.
Yeah. How was this, name the other four?
Well, Three Stooges were in it.
No. I'll give you a clue. One of them died last February.
Sid Caesar? No, that's
Yeah,
right.
Who was the other one?
But they didn't share any scenes?
Caesar, Benny, Rochester, and one other, huh?
Caesar, one of his stars in your show, his show has also appeared in the film. He's also known as a writer.
Howard Morris?
Nope.
Carl Reiner?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Now, name it, the last two.
Oh, Paul Ford, isn't it?
Yeah, and what was the other one?
Jim Back? No, that's all right. Not Jim Backus. Now, fill us in.
I'll give you a clue. He was the star of the show, which Paul Ford appeared in.
Oh, Phil Silvers.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Did Paul Ford star in a series?
Well, I mean, he did star in his own series in the 60s, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah, what was it called? The Baileys of Balboa or something like that. One season. Anyway, Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay, name this actress and singer nicknamed Clara Bixby by a co-star.
Name the what?
Name this actress and singer nicknamed Clara Bixby by a co-star. It's a name that her intimates continue to use.
Doris Day.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you know who gave her that nickname?
Rock Hudson?
No. Actually, Rock Hudson gave her another nickname.
Rock Hudson called her Eunice.
Exactly. That was my follow-up. One of my follow-ups.
Who called her Clara what?
He gave her the nickname Clara Bixby.
Tony Randall?
Nope.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
James Garner.
So why don't we leave that part out there?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Paul from the Richmond.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, I have an April question. I'm going to give you five songs, and I hope you can tell me who wrote them.
Okay.
April Love from April Love of 1957.
Oh, that's for the very young, you know. Okay, I have to think about that. Keep going.
When April Sings from Spring Parade of 1940.
Ooh, Deanna Durbin.
Don't know that song.
Deanna Durbin. Keep going.
April Showers from 1921's Bombo.
Oh, that's Irving Caesar.
No.
Ooh.
Who?
Irving. Well, I was going to say Irving Caesar did the lyrics, didn't he? Or maybe he didn't.
April Showers.
I should know that. Okay, keep going.
April in Portugal from 1953.
Oh, God, that I don't know.
And April in Paris from Walk a Little Faster in 1932.
Well, that's Vernon Duke and Yip Harburg.
Yeah. April Showers. Huh?
Okay, April Showers, that's... Oh, is that Buddy Da Silva?
No.
A good guess.
All right.
These are all well before my time.
April.
Well before our time.
April Love. All right, so let's take it in order again.
April Love.
April Love.
Pat Boone did this, the hit.
57. Is this a single? Tell us if it's a team or a single person.
These are all single persons.
Oh, they are. Okay. All right.
April Love. Is that a classic? Because that's a 60s song.
That's a big hit.
1957.
That
was a big hit. Jean DePaul?
No.
I'm just guessing here. No, we don't know April.
Conan Van Heusen?
Sammy Fain.
Conan?
Oh, Sammy Fain. Okay. Captain, all right. Okay. That's good.
When April Sings from 1940 Spring Paradise.
Wait a minute. Spring Parade.
Spring Parade, right.
I know the movie. It's Robert Cummings and Deanna Durbin. And so it's one person again.
Single person.
Can you name me one other song this person did?
No.
April Showers, that's the one we should get.
Oh, boy. 1940. Oh, my. I'm sorry, I don't know that.
It's Robert Stolz.
All right. No, too cool,
don't know that
quasi,
name.
Yeah. Quasi-classical for me. Next.
April Showers from 1940.
April Showers, we really should know.
Not Irving Caesar. Someone just exactly like that.
It's not Buddy De Silva. It's not Irving Caesar. It's a very well-known songwriter, though, isn't it?
Second tier.
Oh, second tier. Okay.
And April in Portugal.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that song, so...
Do you want April in Portugal?
Yeah, go ahead.
Raul Ferrau.
Oh,
no.
No, we don't know that. Okay.
So at least April Showers.
April Showers. Ooh. No. Isham Jones.
It's Louis Silvers.
Oh, right.
Who?
Louis Silvers.
No, no, that.
He later.
I don't know that one either.
He later led the.
Pretty. They're prettiest.
The orchestra.
They're about third tier, I'd say. Fourth tier.
Well, it was a big hit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we didn't do better, but I like the question very much.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right. Let's see here. The oldest play still in existence is called The Persians. And I'd like to know who the author is.
The oldest play?
The oldest play still in existence in its entirety is called The Persians.
Aristophanes?
No, it's a good guess.
Omar
no.
Khayyam.
No, Omar Khayyam. And once more, the oldest play still in existence is called The Persians, and I'd like to know who the author is. And all right, second question. This is a long question, but I want to get it out of the way early so we can give you each a couple of guesses. The Oxford English Dictionary lists the 10 most common idioms in English. And by idiom, I mean something like, excuse me, a dime a dozen. Okay. So, again, I'm looking for the 10 most common idioms used in the English language. And the example was a dime a dozen. They're all very well known. You want to guess on a few of them?
Oh, there's hundreds. It's so,
I know there are hundreds of them.
About when it rains, it pours.
That's good, but no.
What did you say?
When it rains, it pours. Okay. There's so many. Now we're going to get down to 10.
There are. So a dime a dozen is an example of a common idiom in English.
There's too many.
Oxford English Dictionary has the 10 most common. These are all things that we've all used in common speech. So what are the 10 most common idioms used in English?
Better late than never?
That's good, too.
That's a good guess.
But no. Yeah. But no.
Stitch in time saves nine?
That is also good, but no. But you have the idea.
Getting into it.
Yeah. One is, I'll give you a hint on one. It's theater lore. Let's put it that way.
Not theater break a leg.
Lore? Yeah. What's that?
Not break a leg.
Yeah, break a leg.
Oh, okay.
Break a leg. That's
good,
one.
Good one.
So, there you go.
I want my bell.
Oh, that's right. All right, there you go.
What are the ten most common idioms used in English?
I do it for.
Like break a leg and dime a dozen. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi, Dana. I wonder if I can hit the nail on the head by getting...
Oh, nice.
Oh, let me look there. Just let me check that. But no, not hit the nail on the head.
Okay, and The Persians, was that written by Aeschylus?
It was Aeschylus.
That was my second guess.
Very good. In 472 B.C. Very good.
I have a couple of questions for you. One in your least favorite category, which is sport.
Well, all right.
We're now in the middle of the Final Fours.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my.
And can you tell me what school has won both men's and women's championships in the same year?
Stanford? Stanford?
No.
I
don't think Stanford has ever won the Wynn.
Florida or Kentucky?
Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
I'm not even trying.
If you asked me to name one of the Final Four, I could not do it.
Wisconsin or Indiana?
It happened exactly 10 years ago this year, and it's Connecticut.
Connecticut. All right.
And my last question is this. It's an Oscar question, so it's your favorite category.
Well, up to a point.
Dana's favorite category.
And it's not too modern. Go ahead.
Which two Best Actor Award winners had the least amount of screen time in their film wins?
Oh, that's good.
In minutes.
Best Actor. Huh?
You have to give me a decade, so it's easier for me.
Didn't
to...
Didn't Marlon Brando have, like, a film?
Oh, for The Godfather, you mean?
Yeah.
One was in the 1990s. One was, I think, in the 1960s.
You think it was in the 1990s. Was that Jack Nicholson, by any chance?
For what?
No, it wasn't.
As Good as It Gets.
People think that this guy appeared really, you know, a long time in the movie, but he was really only on for about 18 minutes.
Wow.
Oh. And so the other one, I'm sorry, you say was in the 1960s?
I believe. Okay, if you can tell me what decade Separate Tables was in.
Oh, so David Niven, in the, that's 1950s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And there's one more from the early 90s, and that was Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, all right. Good.
Wow.
Very good. Very
also
good.
About 16 minutes.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, sure.
All right, bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of Your Matter.
Hello, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
I have an answer. The most reproduced photo, Che Guevara.
Che Guevara?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have a frog in my throat.
That's all right.
I mean, is that an expression or the common?
It is an expression, but it is not one of the top ten anyway.
Okay, no bell for that. Okay, I have a question about the famous song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which is being sung a lot lately.
Right.
What year was it written, and what was the unique baseball experience about both of the writers?
Well, Harry Von Tiltzer was...
There were two writers?
Two writers. Co-writers.
Who was the other writer?
Harry Von Tiltzer did the music, I think.
So had they both been bad boys or something?
No.
What was unusual about it? You mean they had connections?
About the baseball experience about the two songwriters.
But they were not former baseball players.
That's correct, but that's not the unique experience.
They were former baseball players.
No, they weren't.
They were not former baseball
players. They'd never been to a game.
That's it.
Ah, very
really?
Good.
And what year would that have been, young lady?
Oh,
1895.
I'll
give you a hint. The Cubs won the World Series.
No. Oh, that helps.
1906?
1908. Very good.
You did very well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
And
I
next call.
I got a sports question. Right.
Very good. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dana. My name is Barbara. I'm in San Francisco.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I've got a short synopsis with some questions attached.
All right.
Very short.
A synopsis of what?
I'll tell you in a second.
All right.
What unusually well-written, produced, and acted current period television series portraying the perils and successes of
Downton Abbey?
Sorry?
Downton Abbey?
No, don't. Let her finish the question first.
The perils and successes of a handsome, uniquely skilled swordsman who, with fortitude, intelligence, and determination, solves each murder case presented to him.
Oh.
Hmm. Swordsman.
So, basically, I want the name of this dusty period piece. Huh. The author of it.
Oh.
The landmark historical period involved.
This is a current show, you said?
The primary medical procedure and analysis used and developed during this time to help solve each case. And where and how does sex play an important role in solving each case, as well as provide pleasure for our hero of the story? And why do many Americans view each episode twice?
Well, okay. I'm totally lost.
So wait a minute now.
I don't know.
I just want to get this straight. Is this a current series?
Correct.
It is a current series.
And it's a period piece.
A period piece.
And it's on television. It's a television series.
Oh, could it be Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones?
No.
No.
It is a network show.
Not a network show. It is a PBS series.
PBS?
PBS series. And it's a swordsman.
Among other things, yes. He's an investigator hired by the period person in charge.
I don't think we know.
PBS.
It's a special PBS station called MHZ.
Ooh, I don't know if I have that.
Don't know that.
I hate to...
this is a pretty
I
much
to
of
say
a niche,
no to
niche
all
question
the effort
here.
You put into it.
Yeah.
Oh, is it German?
No.
No. I'm sorry, we don't know.
Okay. The name of this dusty period piece is Nicholas Lafloche.
Huh.
And the author is Jean Perrault, P-A-R-O-T.
Mm-hmm.
Jean-François Perrault. It's an 18th century book. And the landmark historical period involved is Louis XV and Louis XVI, the dawn of the French Revolution. And the primary medical procedure and analysis used is the autopsy and the knowledge base that they develop in analyzing plants as poisons and very careful examination of the bodies so that they can determine just how the person died. And this analysis is instrumental in solving each case.
Yeah.
And the where and how does sex play a role? The brothels are instrumental for the main character to and others to find out
information. Right.
The secrets and lies and et cetera of the aristocracy in particular.
All right. Are you a publicist for this show by any chance? Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm sorry we didn't do better with the question. And
if anybody's heard of the show, I'd like to know.
Yeah, why not? Anyway, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. The number to join us with a question or answer is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. You are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from Berkeley, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Finally. Thank you. I'm going to try to bring us back into the... Well, never mind. I'll give you the names of five female movie journalist characters. You tell me who played them and the movie, and you'll get one each.
All right.
Okay. First is very easy. Hildy Johnson.
All right, yeah.
Marcia Jeffries. Kimberly Wells. Jane Craig, and Megan Carter. Again, Hildy Johnson, Marcia Jeffries, Kimberly Wells, Jane Craig, and Megan Carter. They're all very well-known films.
Don't take Pauline, do you want to go?
Yeah.
No, I don't know any of them.
You don't know Hildy Johnson?
Nope. Oh,
I'm going to take the easy one. Hildy Johnson is Rosalind Russell in His Girl Friday.
His Girl Friday, right. The remake of The Front Page.
Right.
Okay, I thought you might take a tougher one. Okay, well, maybe you have a chance.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed, how are you?
Good.
So according to the Apollo astronauts, when they went and landed on the moon, they smelled what the moon smells like. And was it?
It wasn't green cheese, was it?
Yeah, cheese, number one.
Great. Yeah, very good.
Really?
Burned? No, it's not the answer. I didn't know.
Oh, it's not the answer.
Oh,
choices.
No, okay, no.
Cheese or burnt?
Burning
or
rubber.
Powder,
what?
Or burned gunpowder, you're going to smoke, you know, the smell of a gunpowder.
Yeah.
Or burning them. Or gasoline or coffee. Which one of the four do you think? So cheese, gunpowder, or gasoline? or coffee.
But how
gunpowder.
How could they smell anything if they were in a contained suit?
They had sample of the air. There is tiny bit of.
There is no air.
They did smell it. Yeah, that's true. That's true to all of them. So what do you think? Cheese, apparent gunpowder, gasoline, or coffee,
cheese.
Grounds.
I say gunpowder.
You're right, 100%. That's it. That's it. So that's good. Okay. Second question is there is only two elements that are liquid at room temperature. One is mercury. One is mercury, and the other one is bromine. I ask that question many times.
Many times.
There is one element. There is a third element that is solid at room temperature, but if you hold it in your hand, it will melt, and is a metal.
Oh, that's good.
That is a good question. So it does melt in your hand, just your, you know, 90 degrees, and will melt it.
Chocolate.
Can you take?
So it's solid. It's solid, but if
it
you hold
solid
it
at room temperature.
It's solid at room temperature, but if you hold it in your hand, it will melt.
It will melt in your hand.
I mean, through body heat.
It's not poisonous. It will not kill you. It is a good element.
Is this a well-known element or pretty obscure?
Semi-well known.
Once it melts,
it is used a lot in solid state devices.
Once it melts, does it turn into a gas?
No, it just becomes liquid. It just becomes like soft, and it can, you know.
Let's go with tungsten.
No, actually, tungsten is one of the least to melt.
Tungsten
a very high melting point.
If you don't know, don't guess.
Hey, come
I'm just kidding.
At least she knows an element, which I don't. It's more than I know.
I was thinking neon, but
We don't know.
We don't know,
Okay, so I'll leave that to the audience. I just have some announcement for next week.
Uh-oh. We get previews and teasers?
Now we get announcements.
Yeah, no, for next week, something will happen that's called Blood Moon. What is a Blood Moon?
A what moon?
Oh.
Blood Moon.
Blood moon.
The blood moon, color with blood.
Oh.
What is it?
I never heard of that. That's good.
Now, that is true expression, astronomical.
Leave it out for people.
No, I just heard this on TV.
It's important that people know. I'll tell you what it is.
All right.
It's coming next week. So on April 15th, that's next week, at 12:45 a.m. Remember, that is a.m., not p.m., which 12:42, April 14th, the eclipse of the moon will start by 12:45 a.m. on the 15th, okay? Then there will be full eclipse, and the moon will look blood red. That is what it is.
Really? Yeah. All right.
It's beautiful. Everybody should watch for it. 12:45 a.m. April 15th.
Thanks for the
tip. Thanks, Eden.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I've heard of Blood on the Moon. Isn't that a movie or
that
a novel?
It is.
Or?
Robert Mitchum.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in the Mission.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. I have a guest on the photograph. Did anyone get that yet?
Not yet.
Okay, I'm guessing that photograph of the Earth from space.
No, good guess, but no.
Okay, that's all I got.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Dana, I think that finding an answer to your idiom question should be easy as pie.
It should be, but that's not one of them.
Oh, really?
That was a good one.
That was a good one, though.
And the photo, how about the Rosenthal shot of the flag raising at Iwo Jima?
Bingo.
Oh, very,
very
good.
Joe Rosenthal, The Chronicle. Yep, very good.
Good. And a question.
All right.
Which state capitol building has been in continuous use as a capitol the longest?
State capitol building or state
State capitol building.
Oh.
Should we say Virginia?
That's a good guess. Let me think. State Capitol building.
Yeah, well,
is it east or west of the Mississippi? It's probably east, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the original 13, maybe?
You would think. Mm-hmm. You would think.
Yes.
And so...
Well, why don't you,
Pauline
you
said Virginia.
Virginia, yeah. That's a good guess.
No.
How about Boston?
No.
Massachusetts.
Okay, it's not New York. It's not
Charleston.
No.
Further north. Can't be Maryland. I'd know.
No, it's not Pennsylvania.
It is Maryland.
It is.
Oh, yes. Annapolis. Okay.
You think I'd know?
Pauline's home state.
Very good. Yeah.
Sort of semi-home.
It's been expanded, but it still is in use as a state capital.
Oh.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to join us, we have a couple of lines open right now. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter, your local quiz program at 415-841-4134. Pauline, it is your turn.
Okay, I'm actually going to follow up on my original question, so which was about Doris Day, and ask. She's referenced in many songs, so I'm going to give you four, and tell me with the song. Four musicians, tell me the song. So in
Say that again.
She's referenced in a number of songs.
Doris Day.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the musician or group, and you tell me the name of the song.
You mean she's mentioned in the song?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So the Beatles, Elton John, Billy Joel, and Wham. And I think just one each.
I have no Cressus. Way ahead of
I do not know.
Okay.
That's a good
read
question.
Read the list again, though.
So the Beatles, Elton John, Billy Joel, and Wham all reference Doris Day in a song.
Really?
Give me the songs.
I had no idea.
Interesting.
Okay.
There were actually more, but those were the four.
All right. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And we are about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Well, I gave you the name of five female movie journalist characters. You tell me who played them and the name of the movie. Dana got Hildy Johnson and Rosalind Russell, His Girl Friday. The others are Marcia Jeffries, Kimberly Wells, Jane Craig, and Megan Carter. They're all very well-known movies.
Mm.
Okay, and we already got that Doris Day was the person nicknamed Clara Bixby. I'm asking which co-star gave her that nickname.
All right. And according to the Oxford English Dictionary, these are the 10 most common idioms in English. And by idiom, I mean something like a dime a dozen. I think break a leg is another. So see if you can name some of those. Again, the 10 most common idioms used in English. And, oh, that was it. Okay. I'm going to play that thing in a minute. I'm going to do this question first. Who is the only last, you may remember if you listened last week, I asked the first best supporting actors to be on a regular network program at the time that they won. Okay.
And who was it?
It was Goldie Hawn who was on Laugh-In. So who was the only Best Actress Academy Award winner to be on a regular network television series at the time of her win?
It's not Goldie Hawn.
It is not. No, this is Best Actress.
Oh, Best Actor.
And actress.
On a series.
On a series.
Well, Hawn was a supporting actress then?
Yeah, she was supporting actress.
This is Best Actress.
Who was the only Best Actress Academy Award winner to be a regular on a network series at the time of her win?
Anything like Sally Fields?
That's a good guess, but no, not Sally Field. All right, now I'm going to play something for you. This is a very familiar song. So what I want is the singer, a very well-known show business personality, no longer around, but somebody who was around for quite a long time. I'm going to recuse Jerry from this for now.
You
can guess toward the end of the show. But for now, I'm going to recuse Jerry from it. And,
he should be recused
So
more
let's
often.
Play some of this.
She's wined and dined on mulligan stew and never wished for turkey. She's hitched and hiked and drifted too from Maine to Albuquerque. Alas, she missed the Beaux-Arts ball, and what is twice as sad, she was never at a party where they honored Noel Cadd. Society, she says, is much too fast, preferring her bohemia first and last. She gets too hungry for dinner at eight. She likes the theater, but never comes late. She never bothers with people she hates. That's why the lady is a tramp. She don't like crap games with barons and earls. Won't go to Harlem in ermine and pearls. Won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls.
That's why the lady is a tramp.
Was this a prominent singer, or was this kind of a novelty number for him?
This person was a prominent singer. Yeah, yeah.
And you, sir, have been recused.
Yeah, and you've been recused.
No, I'm not going to guess. I'm just asking, please.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Was it a band leader by any chance?
No, it was not a band leader. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Judy in Berkeley with some guesses on idioms.
Okay, good.
Water over the dam.
Not water over the dam.
Bridge.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Water over the dam or water under the bridge?
No.
Birds of a feather?
There are a couple of animal-related idioms here, but not birds of a feather.
Skin a cat? I never said
there is
that.
A cat. There is a cat.
More than one way to skin a cat.
Here. Yes.
Let the cat out of the bag?
Yes, let the cat out of the bag.
I'm blinded by my love of knowledge of cats. Oh. No cliche. Kill two birds with one stone?
No.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jerry. That's all I have.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, Judy. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Kimberly Wells. This sounds very, very familiar, and I'm wondering if it's Jane Fonda and the China Syndrome.
It is.
Very good.
Very good. Excellent.
And idioms, I'm sorry, I missed a lot of the answers, but...
Well, there haven't been a lot of the correct answers, so...
Did somebody say in the blink of an eye?
Nobody said that, but that's not one of them.
Okay. Dead as a doornail?
That's not one of them either.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
Could there be the other animal in Raining Cats and Dogs?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, I have a question. There is an object that is an object that you would all know that has a resonant frequency of E, but it's 20 octaves below middle E.
Is that like a dog whistle or something?
No. It's, no.
20 octaves, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. So that's...
So is this... can a human ear make this out readily?
No.
All right.
Not even remotely. No.
Okay.
And this is an object?
Yes.
And it's not a dog whistle?
Not even remotely.
Not even remotely.
Okay.
What sort of thing do they use this object? Can you give us a general idea what they might use this object for? Or is utilitarian sort of thing?
Well, very broadly speaking. I mean, you have to think kind of big.
So does it, like, tie in with sonar or something?
Not really, no.
Oh, I don't think we know.
Okay, I'll... Let me give you a hint here. Middle E is 330 hertz. That's 330 cycles per second. Okay, so 20 octaves below that would be one cycle every 54 minutes.
Every 54 minutes.
So this is a very, 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 very big object that you would all know.
No, we wouldn't.
The particle collider. No, we don't. I'm sorry.
It's the planet Earth.
Oh.
That in fact, when there's a huge earthquake like the Sumatra earthquake of a magnitude 9, that basically the Earth rings like a bell for several months afterwards.
That's great.
They can pick up these cycles on instruments all over the world.
Very interesting. Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, Doris Day and BBC and Doris Day. Dig It by the Beatles. Dig It.
Yes, it is.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Thank you.
I'm going to go for it's neither here nor there for the idiom. So apropos for our show.
Yeah, that's a very good point, but no.
I knew it wasn't, but that's like someone else said, it's all water under the bridge.
That's so, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
How about crying over spilt milk?
No. And it's your turn, Jerry.
Okay, I'm going to give you some classic comic strip characters, and you tell me what the name of the character that they created.
Skeezix.
No. First is... Otto Soglow, S-O-G-L-O-W.
Oh, you want... Oh, these are the artists.
These are the artists.
Okay, all right.
He signed it O period Soglo, but okay. His first name is Otto, S-O-G-L-O-W. Carl Anderson. Ham Fisher. Hmm. Bud Fisher. Margie. One word. George McManus. Jim Davis. Bob, or maybe Robert Kane. I think Bob Kane is how he signed it. Hal Foster. Two more. Burke Breathed, B-R-E-A-T-H-E-D, and Ernie Bushmiller. I'll give you guys two. You can guess two.
Do you want to go ahead?
I'm thinking, I know two of these, but I'm trying to, but it's like escaping me right now.
Hal Foster's Prince Valiant, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
The Ham Fisher or Bud Fisher, one of them did Joe Palooka. Or is that not right? Or is it?
Yeah, which one?
I think it's Ham Fisher.
Correct. That's your two. Okay, right. We'll leave it out there then.
Sorry.
Okay, again, O. Soglo, Carl Anderson, Bud Fisher, Margie, George McManus, Jim Davis, Bob Kane, Burke Breathed, and Ernie Bushmiller.
Right.
Burke Breathed is the one with a cat that's all wild and, like, spiky. Right?
Yeah, you're kind of on the right track.
Yeah, I'm on the right track. I'm just, I can see it, but I can't.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky Matter. How you doing?
Hi.
The one that you have in mind, Pauline, with that spiky cat, Bill the Cat, that's the county of Bloom County.
Yeah, but who is the creator?
That's Burke Breathed.
Burke Breathed, very good, yeah. I don't think that's who she was thinking of.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Bill
okay.
the Cat was like the sort of anti-Garfield.
Yeah, okay.
Ernie Bushmiller created Nancy.
Nancy and Sluggo, mm-hmm. Very good. Excellent.
Meanwhile, Billy Joel mentions Doris Day in We Didn't Start the Fire.
Absolutely.
And the actress who won the best actress while being on a current show, is that Helen Hunt?
It was Helen Hunt, yes.
Oh.
As good as it gets, yes.
And Mad About You.
Right.
We have nothing more to say. We are out of here.
All right, thank you.
You did funny, yeah.
Bye.
And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to go for this one. Because I was watching The Portrait of Dorian Gray last night, and so I'm curious to see who knows the painters of both the painting of him when he's looks like himself
who
young.
Who painted them?
Yes, the two
well
painters.
Well known? They better be.
Relatively.
I thought it was just done by a scenic designer.
No.
They're
a fairly famous artist.
Well, it's two, actually.
It's two. I used to know this.
Is the artist of that period of the movie? Or
what? No, the artist is somebody who painted it just for that movie period, right. Which was the 1940s.
Yeah.
And actually, the follow-up question was going to be, where are those two paintings now?
Now, okay, so you're not talking about the character in the book, in the movie, who supposedly did the painting. You're talking about...
No, I'm talking about the actual painter.
The one that Dorian Gray kills.
Right. No, everybody would know Basil.
Hmm. I didn't know it was a famous painting.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh.
The one of him after is very famous. And I was actually... That's why the follow-up question
isn't
is,
it someplace
where is it?
In Southern California in a museum or something
no.
like that?
Oh, it's it is in a museum, but not in Southern California.
Southern California. All right, I have to mull that over.
Okay.
Why don't you repeat the question?
So who painted the two portraits of Dorian Gray from the 1945 movie, the one of him young and then the one of him sort of evil,
was that
and,
the,
and
was that in the,
corrupted?
Was that in the credits, or how did you know
it's,
that?
It says at the end of the movie. I mean, it gives a special credit for it.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Dan from Daly City.
Hi, Dan.
People keep taking my answers from the got the Doris Day Beatles song, Dig It. But I got a couple of your comics questions.
Okay.
Here. Cool. Okay, you had mentioned Bob Kane as one of them?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the creator of Batman.
Correct.
And I think you said, thank you. And I think you said Jim Davis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be Garfield.
Very good, very good.
Can you run through a couple of others that haven't been guessed?
Yeah, O. Soglo, Carl Anderson. Okay, Bud Fisher, Margie, George McManus.
Okay, Margie created Little Lulu.
Very good.
Very
it's
good.
Known as Margie's Little Lulu, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's an old timer.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I got.
Well, those thank you.
Thanks.
And we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. with a question or answer. The number is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. All right, let me see. All right. Who were the so nicknamed Piccadilly Commandos of World War II? Mm-hmm. Who were the so nicknamed Piccadilly Commandos of World War II? They were named that by American troops.
Well, I don't get the question. Who do you mean individually?
Who were they in reality?
They're well-known people?
They're, as a group. I'm sorry, I'm saying what was this group? Really. Who were the so nicknamed Piccadilly Commandos of World War II? They were given that nickname by American troops.
No?
All right. So once more, who were the so nicknamed Piccadilly Commandos of World War II? They were given that nickname by American troops. Who were they in reality? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I don't think I have anything left. In the break a leg category, how about the more the merrier?
No.
My favorite is tall drink of water.
No.
Okay. Basically, the movie thing about the journalist.
Yeah.
I don't know her name, but I was wondering if I could help somebody and go, I'm positive, one of the movies is Broadcast News.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
Oh. Holly.
No, that's Holly Hunter who played that.
That's right. That's the answer.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, I thought Jane, I had to have her.
Holly Hunter played a character named Jane Craig.
Right.
Okay.
In Broadcast News. So that's,
there you
a,
go.
That's a team effort. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to just hit myself when I hear the Wham thing because I love that thing, but I can't remember the name.
Oh.
And just as a gesture, I'm going to put forward Bixby was given to her by S.C. Zagal.
No, the,
oh, that's
no,
good. He was no, in all of her movies.
That was good, but no, it wasn't. It was...
I just wanted to say his name. I love him.
Oh, good.
Right. Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Now, who called S.C. Zagal Fuzzy?
Cuddles.
Cuddles, I mean, yeah.
Cuddles,
yeah.
Fuzzy Cuddles.
Fuzzy Cuddles.
And,
with the cheek she loved to, to pinch, yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
So the cartoonists that I knew have all been snapped up except maybe one, Bud Fisher.
Yeah.
Is that Henry?
No.
Ah, all right, then I don't know.
That's another one.
I do know that Wham mentions Doris Day in Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
That's right.
Ah, very good.
I'll never get it out of my head. And I would like to pile some guesses onto the common idioms,
right.
Although these are not as common as some that have already been guessed and not been on the list. From head to toe?
No.
Under the sun?
No.
At the end of the day?
No.
From out of nowhere?
No.
Over the moon?
No.
Work like a dog?
No.
All right, that's all I'm going to do. All right, Jerry, here's a comic strip question for you.
Okay.
You know the comic strip High and Lois?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Lois has a brother, uncle to the kids, who never appears in their strip because he has his own very famous comic strip.
Oh.
Who's that?
Good question.
Good
isn't question. It
Beetle Bailey?
It is Beetle Bailey.
Very good.
Cartoonist. Nice one, Jerry.
Good job.
I've never read either of those, but I know the style of
You've
the cartoonist.
You've never read Beetle Bailey or High and Lois?
Maybe once in a while. It's not a regular read for me. No.
Yeah, well, they're pretty generic, but they've been around for years.
Yeah, I know they have. 40 anyway, years at least. Yeah.
Well done. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate
Bye.
It. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. If you'd like to join us quickly, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Jerry, do you have something quick you can throw in?
Sort of on the heels of Ede's question about the odors in space. How many odors can a human nose detect, according to a new study, within 10%?
Oh.
5,000.
No.
Is that high or low?
Low.
Okay. How about 12,500?
No.
20,000?
No.
More?
No.
All right.
No, no, and no.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
I knew it was. I can hear a click whenever it happens. It doesn't happen often enough. Since we're admiring cartoonists, I have to throw this in as the other gentleman did. Hap Cleban made the cat into what it is today. Everyone else followed him. Knit Noko in the great cartoons.
What was that?
Yeah, Hap Cleban. Is that strange little tune you played? The name that popped into my head was Blossom Dearie.
Oh, that's an interesting guess.
Nobody's guessed that. No, it's a man, isn't it?
No, it's not a man.
A woman like
I thought it was a man.
It was a woman.
Oh.
I knew it was a woman.
You know,
what
it is not.
Sophie Tucker.
It is Sophie Tucker.
Really?
Of course it's Sophie Tucker.
Give me a bell. Give me a bell.
I'd like to hear that again.
Very good.
I'd like to hear that again.
We'll play at the end of the very end of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, it doesn't sound like...
Yeah, it's so...
Well, she had a male kind of a low voice. Yeah,
1938, I think.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Good one.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
This is Ruth Berkeley. Did someone ask a question about the Persians, a play?
One of the first questions I asked this evening was the oldest play still in existence is called The Persians, and I asked who the author was, but...
That's Aeschylus.
Very good, yes.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, this is Carla from Oakland.
Hi.
I thought I'd throw in a couple idioms.
Okay.
A bird in the hand?
No.
No. How about cat got your tongue?
There is a... We used up the cat one, I think, already.
Oh, okay. Those are the only two I had. And the painter of the Dorian Gray?
Yes.
It wasn't Norman Rockwell, was it?
No. But I can
More
see why you...
a classic painter, I think. Yeah.
Well, the one of him as a young man, I could see how it could be, because it's
right.
Kind of...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And we have a couple of lines open. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Do you have something?
Yes.
Let me ask this question.
No, I've got a quick one.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Name this only presidential daughter to appear in a movie and name the movie.
The only presidential daughter to appear in a movie.
Bush daughters.
Is this while the person was president?
I don't believe so, but I wouldn't say. There's
only president one. If it's not, it has to be Nixon or Bush.
No,
they both had daughters.
It's,
Amy Carter.
No,
it's this is. Is this in a dramatic role?
You know, I'm not quite sure of the role, but I know the name of the movie. It's somebody. I thought you'd get it right.
Well, I know
actually.
One of them. Jack Ford was Gerald Ford's son was an actor. He was on soap operas.
Daughter.
Susan Ford.
No.
Oh.
It's not
Chelsea
Susan
Clinton.
Ford,
it's not Chelsea Clinton.
No.
Why do you say it like that?
Because she's not an actress.
Oh.
She's
who became an? Oh, I thought you said made an appearance. Oh.
Well, okay. They appeared in a movie as a role.
Oh, real role. Oh,
okay. So is it one of the Ford children?
She also appeared a number of times as herself, but here she appeared in a role.
Is it one of the Ford children?
No, it's
not. Okay. No. I'd have to go
through
all the presidents.
No, if you think, you'll know.
If I think about it, I'll know?
Yeah. You'll absolutely know.
Repeat the question, please.
Name this only presidential daughter to appear in a movie and give the movie.
Did you say daughters, plural?
Daughter. One, singular.
Well, of course, Margaret Truman was a singer. She may have done a role, too. No?
Margaret who?
Truman.
Margaret Truman.
Truman, no.
like Alice Roosevelt Longworth or something like that?
No.
I don't know. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I think it would have been...
Are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Okay, so the nose can smell at least 1 trillion cents. That's 10 to the power 12.
Or trillion is 1 trillion is right.
Yeah,
right,
1 good. Trillion. That's 1 with 12 zeros in front of it.
That's
the scent of the the moon, actually the astronaut took a sample inside and they sniffed it, and it tasted like gunpowder. It smelled like gunpowder.
I guess so, yeah.
The element that melts in your hand is gallium.
Gallium
does melt in your hand. Very, very good show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That 1 trillion figure, that smells a little fishy to me.
I don't know who measures them.
That smells fishy. That could be an expression.
Very good. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is John in San Francisco.
Hi, John.
I have a desk of the Dorian Gray after portrait was by Yvonne Albright.
Absolutely.
Who's that?
And I believe it hangs in the Art Institute of Chicago.
Yes, it is.
Oh, very good.
It's very prominently displayed there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, you usually don't catch me. Okay. Guess on a cartoonist, O Soglo, the Little King.
Little good. Very good. Very That's good. A hard one. The Little King.
Yep. Okay, I've got a quick question for it. Maybe too late.
Very quick.
Okay. What point on the continental American West Coast is closest to Hawaii?
So it's got to be Alaska, somewhere in Alaska. So the Aleutian Islands? No.
So we're not necessarily talking about the lower 48 states.
Well, yeah.
We are, okay. This is because you said the continental. Oh, that's right, the continental.
Oh,
well,
continental. Okay,
there is a clue within the question.
Say it again, then.
What point on the continental West Coast?
Point Arena?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Very good. That was in the Chronicle a couple of weeks ago.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Good night.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. One more call.
Okay.
Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter. Yes.
On the idioms?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, on the idioms, is it a penny for your thoughts?
No.
Okay. An elephant never forgets?
No.
Is it presidential daughter Chelsea Clinton?
It's not Chelsea Clinton.
Not Chelsea Clinton.
No.
Okay. Before. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Okay,
time
bye.
Thank you. Time to clean up here. What have we got?
Okay. Well, we have three. Carl Anderson was the creator of Henry.
Oh, George McManus. Oh. That's Bringing Up Father, isn't it?
Well, Jiggs and Maggie.
Jiggs and Maggie.
Carl Anderson, Henry, and Bud Fisher was Mutt and Jeff.
All right.
I'm surprised you didn't know that. And the other female movie journalists are Marcia Jeffries was the reporter played by Patricia Neal in A Face in the Crowd.
All right.
And Megan Carter was Sally Field in Absence of Malice.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Pauline?
Okay. The person who nicknamed Doris Day Clara Bixby was her co-star Billy DeWolf from T for Two. The Elton John song that she's referred to in is Wrap Her Up. The President's Daughter is Maureen Reagan in Kissing Cousins.
All right.
And the original painter was Enrique Medina, though it was initially supposed to be the brother of Ivan Albright, but his version didn't appear.
All right. The so nicknamed Piccadilly Commandos of World War II, that was the name given to prostitutes by the American troops.
Oh.
The 10 most common idioms in English: piece of cake, costs an arm and a leg, break a leg, hit the books, let the cat out of the bag, hit the nail on the head, when pigs fly, you can't judge a book by its cover, bite off more than you can chew, and scratch my back or scratch someone's back. So, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show, and please join us next Sunday about the same time. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. I've been your moderator, Dan Rodriguez. So thanks to Kevin Vance and Steve Wilcott for handling Born and Phones. And above all, thanks, Steve, for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
It's got to be one way or the other. If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend...